not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there were prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Good morning. So, as you can probably tell, this lesson is going to be about love. And I was kind of thinking about how some of us, we have role models we look up to. You know, it could be a parent, it could be like a celebrity, it could be an athlete. Like, if you love LeBron James, you're going to try and walk around wearing LeBron James shoes, LeBron James jersey. You're going to try and be like LeBron. And our goal, our role model as Christians should be Christ. So we should try to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And looking at Jesus' life, what stood out to me among all his perfection is the love he showed in everything he did. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It reads, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" And John 15:12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So Jesus makes it clear that his greatest command to us is to love. So I'm going to take the next little bit of time, and we're going to go over what is love, who do we love, and how do we love. Turn with me again to 1 Corinthians 13, what Sean just read for us a minute ago. I'm going to start off with verses 1 through 3. "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." So Paul takes these first three verses, and he's basically talking about all these amazing things you can do. He's saying, if you can speak in tongues, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you can't have faith that can move mountains, that's all great. But if you don't have love, what does it mean? And I like to think of this, living the Christian life is kind of a little bit like a puzzle. And you have to put all the pieces together, eventually you come out with a Christian, what the world sees as a Christian. And as a kid, I would make puzzles, and you know, if a piece didn't fit or if I couldn't find one, I would either make it fit or just leave it blank. And I was like, that's fine. It's fine like that. But Paul's saying you can't do this with the Christian puzzle, especially with love. Because love isn't just a regular piece. You can have everything else, but if you don't have love, people aren't going to look at you and say you're a Christian. We sing a song that they will know we're Christians by our love. And if we don't have it, the world won't see our faith and we'll look just like everyone else. Picking up again in verse 4, Paul says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Okay, so verses 4 through 7, Paul's just talking about all the things that love is, trying to help us get a better understanding. So he says love's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, doesn't boast, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, rejoices in truth, always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. And those are all pretty good qualities, if you ask me. So overall, love is putting others above yourself, keeping a humble spirit, and doing all things that are right. Love is basically everything that is good and holy, and it's the quality of showing that to others. And that's everything that God wants us to be. Now, I want to address something here. There's a question that came up at Keith Parker's early bird class at Tahoe that I found really interesting, so I thought I would share it with you guys. The question was, is there a difference between like and love? And this question came up because, you know, when you go through life, there's sometimes people that you don't take too fondly to, that you don't particularly like. And sometimes makes you feel like you're not doing your job as a Christian, not showing love to them when this happens. So we're going to look at some scriptures, try to find the answer to that. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. So in this verse, Paul's talking about a missionary who is with him, a man named Demas. And he says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." So Demas, again, he was a guy who was a missionary with Paul. I assume they were friends because they were going all over preaching the word. But Demas deserted him. I want you to think about how Paul feels about Demas at the moment. Do you think he likes him? Probably not. He used some strong language when describing him. He said, Demas, because he loved the world, deserted me. And when you think about the word deserted, it doesn't mean that he just left Paul all by himself so that Paul could still be successful. Deserted kind of has the connotation that you left me in a bad spot all by myself with nothing that can help me. So this is an example of someone who, Paul, who doesn't really like Demas, but it's not going to stop him from showing love to him. But of course, this is just a normal person. It's just Paul, but we're supposed to be like Jesus. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 52. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal for them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Jesus said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seizing Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." So in this passage, I'm going to point out two people who Jesus particularly didn't like, but he still showed love to them. And the first is Judas. And I think we can probably tell why Jesus wouldn't like Jesus right now. Because Judas is someone who's been with Jesus for years. he's been his disciples, spent a lot of time with him, and now he's betraying Jesus for money. And I don't know about you guys, but if someone who was my friend, who I'd been with for years, did something like that to me, I wouldn't be too happy about it. I would tell them about it. But not Jesus. He keeps completely calm, and he shows love to him, because 1 Corinthians 13 said that love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus shows that in the way he deals with Judas here. And then in verses 51 and 52, we have one of the disciples taking action, cutting off one of the servant's ears. And Jesus says, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." So we know, like, Jesus had the authority to stop all that from happening. We sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have, like, just left, and none of this stuff would have happened. But he told his disciple to put the sword away. Again, 1 Corinthians says that love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So despite Jesus, you know, not liking these people who are arresting him, betraying him, he still showed the qualities of love to him. So looking at these verses, we can kind of see that there is a difference between like and love. That there might be someone who we don't like them. We might not call them up and be like, "Hey, you want to go get a bite to eat," or something like that. But we still, God still wants us to show love to them. And that's our job. All right, our next question is, who are we supposed to love? And first, we can think about this in just common sense. Let's think, who do we love? We love our friends. We love our family. That's a pretty good start. And you say to yourself, "Wow, Stephen, I'm doing that." I'm like, good job. If you look back to Matthew 22, you don't have to flip there because we already read there. But verses 36 to 40, Jesus says that the greatest commands are to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. So far we have four. We love our family, our friends, we love God, and our neighbors. Yeah, we like that. That sounds good. Those are all easy people to love. And we're really good at that. We can love our family, we can love our friends, we can love God, he gave us everything. But that's not where we struggle. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So Jesus is saying that we have to love our enemies. And this is where we all struggle. Because we're great at loving inside this church. There's a lot of love here. But what happens when we go outside these doors and we see people on the street? Do we show them love? Sometimes we don't. And it's hard to love our enemies. I understand that. Especially because of the world we live in. Think about it. Everything in the world is built upon competition and going against your fellow man. You might be competing with your friend for a promotion at school. You might be trying to make a sports team. You might be competing in a sports game. And you're not really showing love in any of that. I know when I step on a basketball court, I'm not thinking about how I'm going to show love to the dude I'm guarding. I'm trying to destroy him. And we have so much of this in the world that it causes us to not focus on love and kind of get more focused on hate. But we need to be different. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors do that. If you greet only your brothers, what do you do more than others? Even pagans do that. It's great when we love our family, our friends, we love God, our neighbor. But how is that different from anyone else? Anyone can do that. another place in Matthew 5, Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a distinct flavor from the rest of the world. And we need to learn how to love like Jesus in order to do that. And sometimes something that we as Christians struggle with that I've seen is we're so focused on what the Bible says that we overlook it in a way, if that makes any sense. We'll see someone on the corner smoking weed or someone doing something wrong, and we immediately go to hate. And it's not what Jesus wants us to do. Because he didn't just die for us in this building. He didn't just die for the good church-growing Christians. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for all of us. He died for the dude smoking weed on the corner. He died for the girl that got pregnant and wants an abortion. He died for the robber, the murderer, and the church-going Christian. So we need to show love to all of them, because that's what Jesus did. He showed such great love that he came down from heaven, died for us, gruesome death, so that we would have a chance of being saved. And sometimes we say we hate the sin and love the sinner, but a lot of the time we don't put that to action, and we really need to. Because if we don't love, then how are we different from the world? So we need to start showing love to everyone again. And now, as this lesson draws to the close, let's just think about Jesus on that cross and think about the times that I know we all have done it. We've done something wrong, even though we knew what we were doing was wrong. And think about how Jesus died for that. And he loved you, he loved me so much, all of us, that he died for us in spite of that. That's how much he loved us. And we need to show that love to the world. And in a minute, if you have the needs of the church or like to get baptized, you can come forward. And let's start loving again as we stand and sing.